We've eliminated smallpox. Can polio be the next disease to disappear? That's the proposition being put to the Australian government by members of a global campaign to eradicate polio. They're asking the government to contribute $50 million to help fight polio in the few developing countries where it remains a significant threat. Chris Mars, the Acting Director of Polio Eradication and Monitoring Research at the World Health Organization, and he joins me now. Welcome to Life Matters, Chris.
Thanks very much, Richard.
What's the global outlook for polio? Where is it a problem?
It's still a problem primarily in South Asia and in Africa. The four countries that have never, ever really stopped transmission of polio are India and Pakistan, Afghanistan and Nigeria in Africa. But there are a number of other countries, Richard, that get reinfected from these sort of reservoir areas. So every year we tend to have, you know, another 10 countries or so that report cases because they get importations.
Right. And I imagine they either tend to border those countries or they have significant cultural ties with them.
Quite often, yes. But you do find situations where virus can move quite long distances and turn up in unusual places. So, for example, we had a big outbreak last year in Tajikistan in Central Asia, and that virus, I mean, we all thought maybe that's come from Afghanistan or something, but actually it came from India. So someone got on an aeroplane who was infected and ended up infecting quite a number of people quite some distance away from the origin of the case.
Now, it occurs to me that at least three, I think, of those countries are member of the Commonwealth. That should mean something, I suppose you'll be arguing, in terms of Australia responding to the need for aid.
Very much so, very much so. I think that the objective of the Global Poverty Project, which I'm sure our listeners know is an Australian non-government organisation who's launching this appeal, this campaign on behalf of the global initiative. Their idea is that the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting is actually an ideal sort of place to be bringing this issue to the table, since three of the four remaining endemic countries are actually Commonwealth countries, and it's a good opportunity to sort of reaffirm an international commitment, if you like, to get this thing done.
Why is there what amounts to a funding shortfall? Is this a post GFC thing, or were we always just not putting enough money into these countries?
Basically, Richard, we've always sort of been struggling against a shortfall in funding. It's surprising that the progress that we have made has been made. Just 30 years ago, there were about 500,000 cases of polio a year, and so far this year, we found about 270 in the whole world. So there is a truly extraordinary reduction in cases, but we've sort of been sitting at a fairly low level and not being able to close it out now for a few years. And part of the reason of that is that we have this funding gap, and we're constantly trying to hedge our bets and make sure that we can do the activities we need to do, and at the same time, keep the project going. So, through to the end of 2012, we have a gap of about $590 million that we've got to fill. So any support that the Australian government or any other government can provide the global initiative is really going to make a very big difference.
50 years ago, of course, that we had polio here, and vaccination has effectively eliminated it now. Does this make it difficult to raise public awareness? We no longer have direct experience of this disease.
I think it always does when the obvious importance of a disease to people disappears. Then it's much more difficult for them to understand the impact that the disease has in places where it still exists. But I remember, Richard, we may be similar vintages. It's hard to tell from your voice, but I remember going through the early vaccination campaigns in Australia. I remember as a little kid standing in these long lines of children getting the polio vaccine off little plastic spoons. And
I remember being so relieved that it wasn't another needle, that it stayed with me. I asked my mother why they couldn't all be like that.
And here we are, you know, 30 years later, I found myself trying to work on its eradication and haven't escaped it for the last 20 years. But when I started working on polio, I was working in Southeast Asia, and in particular doing quite a lot of work in Cambodia and southern Vietnam, and there was polio everywhere. I mean, there were thousands of children who were being paralyzed, crippled every year, or killed. And it was a very obvious disease, and if you actually go anywhere where it's a problem, you can't escape it. There's crippled kids everywhere.
It can mean lifelong disability. What happens to kids in countries which are poor and have been affected by it badly? I suppose they're totally dependent on families or charities.
Exactly. It becomes a very significant burden on society because you have a number of people who have been disabled from a very young age, and quite often, especially in agrarian societies, I mean, that significantly limits what they can do. It impacts their economic productivity. It can impacts their social life, their possibilities of getting married, their having a family. I mean, it can be a pretty devastating thing for both the kids who get paralysed through their lives and for their families and for the communities that they're in.
What about treatment? I mean, how has that changed since the epidemics of say, the 50s when Australian kids tended to end up in an iron lung, including some famous people? Kerry Packer, I think, was one of them. Yeah. The broadcaster John Laws as well.
Yeah. Yeah, the treatment really depends on the access to really good care, and always for us the best treatment is to stop the thing from happening in the first place. I mean, that's why I think the eradication goal is so important, because if it works, then no child in the world is ever going to get paralysed by polio ever again. That's the aim. I believe we're actually getting very, very close. And, you know, with only 270 cases so far this year, that's a real opportunity we have now to close this thing out in the coming 12 to 18 months.
On Life Matters today, my guest is Chris Maher. He's Acting Director of Polio Eradication and Monitoring Research at the World Health Organization. We are speaking to him because there is this appeal being launched. The Australian government's going to be asked, especially at CHOGM, the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting, which is on later this year in Perth, to hand over about $50 million. They need about $600 million altogether, they think, to finish this off. It's exciting, isn't it, Chris? I mean, for you spent decades in this. We're not talking about another couple of decades. We're talking about being able to resolve this in, something under 5 years.
Oh, definitely under 5 years, Richard. Yeah, we'd certainly be hoping to knock it off quicker than that. And we're really hoping to have the last case in the world sometime in the next 18 months, 2 years. If we get the support we need, we're pretty confident that we're going to be able to do that. Can I slip in a quick plug just before I forget to be able to do so? The Global Poverty Project, the Australian NGO that's launching this campaign, has a website, actually. It's www.endofpolio.com. And it'll be running for the next 100 days in the lead up to the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting for people to look at to obtain information and to, if they wish to register their support for this global campaign.
Can I ask you, because the countries that you mentioned, three of the four where it's endemic, there's going to be access issues. Afghanistan in particular is going to be extremely difficult. There's so much political unrest, there's so much violence. That is going to be a factor for you, isn't it?
It is. It certainly is a factor. And all of these countries in the areas of insecurity have been conducting activities or trying to conduct activities for some time. So they've developed quite a lot of experience in trying to operate in an insecure situation. That doesn't mean that it's safe, and it doesn't mean that we reach every child in these places when we're running the vaccination campaigns. But it does mean that we're not, and sorry to coin a phrase, we're not paralysed by the fact that there's a conflict. Where we are able to do something, and we try to develop strategies, local strategies that allow us to reach children despite the risks.
Now, you've mentioned the focus of the campaign in Australia is the next CHOGM meeting. I think it's in Perth. It's in October, I think. What is planned in the lead up to that?
I think the Global Poverty Project locally will be trying to raise a lot of local awareness and encourage Australians to think about this and to get behind the idea of finishing polio in the world. I know our colleagues in Rotary International are going to be very active. They've been strong supporters of polio eradication. Some could say the principal supporters of polio eradication since the global initiative started. So I think the objective will be to have a very, very strong public feeling that this is something that the Australian people can see as being a global priority and something that they would like to support, and that this is reflected by the Australian government, and that this comes through to the other heads of government in the CHOGM meeting, that they feel a sense that this is an objective that has a lot of public support and that they can get behind it and get it done.
Finally, Chris, in Australia and countries like Australia, there's now recognition of a post-polio syndrome where 20 years or more after the acute infection, people start to experience muscle weakness, other symptoms. Is that syndrome recognised by the World Health Organisation?
Yes, it is, Richard. We recognise most of the sequelae of polio as being significant issues. We have tried increasingly in the latter years of the eradication program to try to deal as well with the results of polio infection and not just trying to prevent it. This is very difficult, of course, for an organisation like WHO because it's not a huge organisation and it doesn't have massive resources. So we have to work through national governments and national health authorities to try to do things. But there's no question that we always come back to the same thing. The best thing we can do is to prevent this disease from happening. And if we can prevent it happening in the whole world ever again, that's far and away the most positive step we can take to make sure that no one has to suffer from it in the future.
Well, good luck with it, Chris, and thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks very much, Rich.
That's Chris Maher. He's Acting Director of Polio Eradication and Monitoring Research at the World Health Organization. You can find out more details of what he's been talking about on our website, abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. Coming up next on the show, the Grey Man. Who is he?